Hello, hello. It is 1:16 p.m. And guess what, Ben?
We are not alone in the studio. We are here today with Chris Farfoy. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's nice to be here.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much.
Great to have you here. Ministers do not pop around RDU very often, so we are very humbled and thankful that you're in the studio today.
It's good to be here.
Yeah. If the listeners don't listen to the morning, I'm Josh. This is Ben.
Yes.
And do you want to give a brief introduction as to yourself beyond just your name, as we've said?
Yeah, look, thank you. I'm Chris Farfoy. I'm the Minister of Broadcasting. So because this is a student radio station, thanks for the invitation to be here.
Cool.
Good to be at RDU. I'm a former Cantabrian, so it's nice to be back in the Garden City.
Heck yeah, definitely.
Yes.
What is it kind of about RDU? You say you're a Cantabrian, which is awesome to hear. How does it feel kind of being back in the city in RDU? You're getting these nostalgic radio vibes, you know, emanating from the building.
Yeah, it's good. It's been a while since I've been here. So, but in my university days in the mid-90s, listening to RDU was pretty key. I said to James just before we came here, asked him whether the U-card was still around, because that was a way to get cheap beer back then too. So, obviously, the ability to listen to some good local music. I understand at the end of this we're going to be throwing to some live music action, which is good.
Definitely.
To see.
Definitely, yeah, it's real cool.
I think for people like you also, it's good to be able to, at a young age, get yourselves behind a mic too.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. For sure.
As a follow-on from talking about student radio and RDU, are there any artists that you're enjoying at the moment? We'd love to know.
I grew up in Christchurch, and I've got a pretty weird music taste from where I grew up. But my brother was in a band, and he kind of exposed me to lots of different music. So I'm a big fan of Radiohead. I'm not sure much if you're playing much Radiohead.
Yeah, we got some Radiohead on here.
Anything with some loud guitar usually does all right with me.
Nice.
And we just listened to Die 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 by someone.
Die 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 was the band, I think. And the
Casualties of Decades.
Yeah.
So anything with a guitar usually fits the bill.
Nice.
Awesome.
We were actually going to say we did a little bit of digging.
Yes.
And we found out, so we know your brother was in a band. He was in a band called Stereo Bus.
Yes.
And Dave Yatton was in that band, who also was in the JPS Experience, which was on Flying Nun.
That's one of
New Zealand's kind of, you know, premier independent labels.
Yeah, I'm not sure if anyone listening might remember them, but I love my brother like a brother.
Of course.
But he's obviously more talented than me. But the Stereo Bus back in the late 90s, early 2000s was quite big, and I think they got a lot of play on student radio
definitely.
To begin with, and then they became mainstream, and then they disappeared. But does it make them any less good?
No, of course. No, of course not. They're fantastic.
You're clearly linked to the state of New Zealand music because of your brother, as you say. Mm-hmm. And so it's cool that someone so passionate and involved with these links is present in the role that you're in. So was it something that you wanted to relate into your politics? Like, which came first?
Certainly, I think the love of local music. I think growing up with a pretty good diet of local music and the local music scene around back when I grew up here was pretty good. So you didn't have to go too far to get a beer and listen to local bands, which was great. So I think giving an opportunity to make a bit of a living out of that is pretty important. And whether it be student radio or access radio or mainstream radio, getting New Zealand artists on there is really important. And I think, you know, it's really important when we're kind of getting bombarded with other music at the moment. You can stream online, that there's an avenue for people who want to pick up a guitar or whatever other instrument to express themselves and tell a few local stories. If you bang out a few chords is really important.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Obviously, we are a student radio station. So what kind of part do you think student radio plays in the overall landscape of New Zealand broadcasting and kind of what's done to look into and support those type of things?
Well, look, I think student years can be difficult. I think obviously in Christchurch, if you're a young person in the last 12 months or the last 10 years, it adds another layer of difficulty there. So if this can be an avenue where students can express themselves or kind of tell stories and understand that they're not the only person in that predicament as well. I guess because it's a student radio station, whether it be Polytech across the road or the university, just basic information about making sure you go to university and go to lectures is also probably a good idea too. But I think it's really important for budding broadcasters to be able to get some experience behind a microphone, push buttons, push them at the wrong time, say things that they shouldn't say and apologise for it.
We would never.
No. The manager's watching over our shoulders at the moment. But that kind of stuff, you don't get an opportunity to do later on in life if you're going to be behind a microphone. So it's a good training ground. But also I think there's a lot of people who have kind of committed to student radio who've been in it for a long time. Yeah. And I think we've got to take our hats off of them because it's important for young people to have, music that they want to listen to, not necessarily some other programmer.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And a follow on from that, Spotify can only take us so far in the sense of we want to obviously amplify new homegrown New Zealand music. And Spotify, I suppose, doesn't necessarily do that. Anyway, yeah. In which ways can we continue amplifying New Zealand music voices?
Look, I think New Zealand On Air funding obviously helps in making sure people can record and make videos of something that's been bread and butter for New Zealand On Air for some time. But I think it is about supporting other platforms that aren't necessarily mainstream. I started my own career behind a microphone across the road from here at Plains FM, pushing buttons. But again, if people, I think about the group who are going to play after our interview, have the opportunity to, it's not easy playing guitar on live radio, but the more chance you get to do it, the more comfortable you get to do it. I think you get more people having confidence to either play on air or go out and have a gig in a pub. And you never know. If they're extremely talented, then they could end up being the next big thing in New Zealand as well. So you've got to put yourself through the stress of performing.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kiwi music, to you, what do you think is this like kind of iconic Kiwi music sound? And how do we? I know, very difficult question.
Yeah.
But what do you think it is about New Zealand music that really kind of solidifies it as like a staple of our culture?
If I think of a sound, there's lots of different sounds, but I think of the kind of student sound that I was was accustomed to is kind of a bit of twangy guitar from down south in Dunedin, the chills, etc. But then I think that's changed over time. There's a whole lot of commercial stuff, but then I think, South Auckland student radio and sound has also influenced as well. But I think something stuff that is experimental, but also I think importantly for me is stuff that tells a bit of a New Zealand story. I'm a big fan of the Mutton Birds, and I think if you kind of listen to their lyrics, they're kind of lovely melodies, but the lyrics themselves are almost stupidly simple, but you can relate to them really well. So I think if you listen to a lot of lyrics of New Zealand music, you can actually get some a good sign of the times, especially in the 80s. I think it's the strange old lyrics that you can get out of a Kiwi song that make it different to the rest of the world.
Yeah, definitely.
As a follow-on from that as well, how do we protect the sound of Kiwi music while also allowing creators to do their own thing and explore themselves?
Yeah, look, I think just encouraging people and giving them space to do it. So that's why I think different non-mainstream mediums, whether it be radio stations or other platforms, to be able to do that. It's, just like getting behind a microphone can be scary. I think it's scary for people to put themselves out there, write a song and hope people like it.
Totally.
And New Zealand audiences can be pretty harsh, but I think, like with most things, if you think you can write a song and you keep doing it for a while, then hopefully sooner or later you can get one that people like to listen to.
Yeah.
It sounds a little bit boring, but having the opportunity to play a song somewhere and have people clap and encourage you that you should keep going is not a bad thing in terms of motivation for a musician.
Definitely.
Yeah.
How do you think we as in kind of New Zealanders can best navigate the powers of these kind of big media corporations like Spotify's and Netflix and all of that, who dominate a lot of the media market, even in New Zealand? How do we kind of continue to push and evolve New Zealand music with these type of powers coming in, I guess?
Yeah, look, I think a lot of that depends on decisions that programmers make and people who are looking for talent make in terms of who to push as artists locally as well. But you don't find the local talent unless you're encouraging people to get out there and make it. So things that have been happening for decades, like RockQuest, I think encourage young people to get out and make music. I think if I think of all the young people that were kind of big in RockQuest 20, 25 years ago during my years. A lot of them are well-known artists, you know, both in their own right because of their music, but they've become commercially successful as well. Usually they start out somewhere where people aren't listening, like student radio in big numbers, but that's where they get a chance. So making sure you have a specific audience, like a student radio or community access radio. And I think what I've seen here is it's not just, you know, the radio station anymore. You're collaborating with other venues so people can play and you can put them on air as well. I think that's a great development, especially if you can, I don't want to push the barrier too much, but, you know, it's a lovely sunny day out there and I've discovered a live music venue down there as well. So if you can enjoy a wee ale, listen to some local music and people can hear that on the radio as well, I think that's a great many things coming together.
Yeah.
This question is short, but it packs a punch.
Yeah.
How do we ensure the best for the welfare of New Zealand artists and creators?
I think they're finding it pretty tough at the moment. There is some support that the government is giving them, but the ability to play live gigs has obviously disappeared in the last 6 months. So I think in a couple of ways, we're real basic and boring messages, we need to do the basics to keep us at level one. And when we do have gigs up and running again, and I think we'll slowly start to see that happen over time, it might be a little bit niggly in terms of, you know, how we operate in them, but as long as we keep each other safe, we can still keep going to the gigs. And it's the tickets that support them. It's the buying of drinks over bars that supports the venues that have them. It's going to be a little bit different for a while.
Yeah.
But I think it's a really boring, safe health message that I'm giving. But if we can continue to keep COVID at bay, then gigs can continue to happen. And I think the artists can get the gigs that pay the rent and make sure they've got petrol in the car to get to the gig. And, you know, and I think, you know, that desperately struggling to do things like that. The government can help, but the best thing for them, I think, at the moment is they'd like to have their instruments plugged in and be able to make some noise.
For sure. Speaking of COVID, you touched on this a little bit right there, but have you found that the COVID-19 has kind of helped to show ways that you can support new artists or kind of identify ways that they might be struggling, especially when trying times appear?
Yeah, look, I think there is an opportunity in some of the technology that's kind of come to the fore, and whether or not I know that solo artists could kind of go online during the full lockdown, but I think trying to find different ways for artists to perform to live audiences that are in their homes is also a good way.
Yeah.
The challenge for them is, I guess, how do you monetize that as well? Because you got to pay the internet bill to do that.
Yeah.
So I think certainly through some of the discussions that we've had with the arts community in general, I think they're some of the hardest affected, like tourism, and making sure how do we support them to keep them in that space, because as you can imagine, if they aren't able to perform, they've got to try and go and find a day job. Day jobs aren't as easy to get these days as well.
Yeah.
So if we can support them either through some government funding, or now that most of us are at level one, getting to gigs, keeping us safe, but supporting them by buying tickets. And I guess it also goes to, you know, if there's any way that people can support artists by monetarily supporting their content, you know, not necessarily kind of ripping a stream off somewhere, but you're making sure you pay for it as you're meant to.
Yeah, definitely.
That's also a good initiative to support local artists.
For sure.
Thank you so much for coming into the studio.
It's all good, man. Chris, thank you.
Do you have any final words? I have to ask for the tradition of our show.
Oh, look, thank you. As per usual, Canterbury and Christchurch has turned on to Saturday. I'd like to thank RDU for the work over the last 6 months. I think you probably played an important part in keeping students informed about what's going on in this weird world at the moment. So I think hats off to that and supporting them in many ways.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much.